Good morning. I'm just going to wait for those few that are loitering in the back. After that many years of marriage, you'd think they'd be able to just hone in on each other, you know? And they did, and they are successfully landed together in church, as are we all. Good morning for a call to worship. Please rise. In one spirit, we are all gathered into one body, young and old, rich and poor, indigenous or immigrant. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. When all members do their part, we all succeed in glorifying God together. We are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Encouraged by the Spirit, we claim our membership of the body of Christ. If you could remain standing for our opening song, please. Once again, welcome. Are there any guests that need to be introduced or would like to be introduced? I should say that I should not make anybody feel guilty for having played hooky over the summer. So I won't. Or did I just? Anyway, welcome all here. It's wonderful. We've got programs that are slowly getting going for the fall season. It's wonderful that this section here is filled with our young people and their parents. That's a sign of growth for our church and our community. So. In our community life, I just want to highlight a couple of things in your bulletin. For the month of September, the art wall features baptismal photographs from 52 to 63, and there's a lot more than just baptismal photographs there, I will say I went through. I haven't seen the displays in the back yet, but please take time. The historical committee has done a great job of digging up some old photographs from a while ago. The one thing I noticed was we don't seem to have much from about 86 forward. So if anybody has photographs or things from, you know, the last, what is that, 30 years? Seems to be a gap in the pictures. So if anybody does have any that they would like to donate to the church or make copies, go to Costco or Walmart and make some copies of some pictures that they have showing church life during that time, I think it would round out a little bit our historical database, as it were. Obviously, Sunday school is starting. We've got registration that is happening and has happened this morning already. So I think they are still looking for some volunteers with Sunday school. So please look in your heart to see whether you are interested in that. And number seven, our listening circles. The forms, I think, are still in the back. Am I right, Lizzie? Where's Lizzie? There she is. So you have a whole extra week to fill out those forms. It's a wonderful way for us, or will be a wonderful way for us, to hear what's on our hearts and have a meaningful discussion with, I'm assuming, Lizzie, you will be leading it.
I'll be there.
She'll be there, yes. That's great. And number eight, there is a clothing fair planned for November. So please go through your closets for all those clothes that you that are gently used and that you would like to donate. Am I missing anything on the community life side of things? Oh,
we should be good now.
Yeah.
All right. The lots of people here today, lots of kids here today. So the kids club will hopefully be starting in couple weeks' time, September 23rd, so not this Monday or next Monday, but the Monday after that. But in order to have the kids' club, we need at least one more volunteer, hopefully two more volunteers, or more, the more the merrier. But so if anyone would like to spend their Monday nights playing games and doing crafts and stuff like that, you can talk to myself or Megan Reimer, wherever she is. We are the two volunteers right now, and it would be great if we had at least one or two more to have a good adult representation at the kids' club. But yes, it will start in a couple weeks, and so any kids grade 1 to 6, so grade 1 to 6, if you're in that age, talk to your parents. Parents, talk to your kids. It's a great time, so yes. Thank you.
I do have an announcement that didn't quite make it into the bulletin, but on the 22nd, so in two Sundays, we will be having a camp-themed Sunday where we hear from, I think we'll hear from folks who are working at camp this summer, Camps with Meaning, and youth who have been involved in camps this summer will be helping or doing the service. And then afterwards, we'll be having a pizza lunch and crokinole tournament for a camp fundraiser. But we need your help to make that happen. We need crokinole boards. I don't even know if I really know what crokinole is, but I know it's a big thing here. So if it's with the little things that you scoot across. Oh, you flip. Okay. So I will be learning how to play crokinole. But please, if you have a board, let me know. Bring it. You can bring it ahead of time unless you are avid players and you play every night, which would not surprise me if some of you are, because it's that popular a game. But if you could label your boards as well, with just masking tape in your name so that we can make sure that everyone's board gets back to them at the end, that would be great. So the 22nd pizza lunch fundraiser and Crokinole tournament. Hope to see you all there.
I guess we forgot to ask her that question when we were hiring her. I was on the committee. I apologize. Next time, I'll put it in the files for future reference. Either that, or else we'll include in the welcome kit the instructions to Crokinole. Knipspret. Sorry, got to pronounce it correctly. I don't know if I did it right. Anyway. Well, she's a keeper. Am I allowed to say that? I get myself into so much trouble up here. Anyway, if I could welcome—I'm sorry—were there any other announcements that needed to be highlighted? Okay, if I could get the children to come up and sort of be here—I'm sorry, children is such a—the young people. Up here. We're going to be doing three songs that are sort of Sunday school-ish. So. You're gonna
face
that way. You know all these songs? We're gonna start with Circle of God's People.
You can face this.
Why is everyone?
A perfect line.
Excellent. This is working out way better than I thought.
We're the circle of God's people. Until that's fresh. Come join and be part of this song. One voice, one hope. We're part of the new creation. God's plan for peace. Welcoming in the last and least. The circle's open. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us. New community working around and in it through us to rebuild our unity. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us. New community working around and to spread the joy God's people share of the good news. God is here, God's listening. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us to new community, working around and in there through us to rebuild our unity. God's Spirit holds us up and gathers us in new community, working around and in there through us to rebuild our unity. We're the circle of God's people. Until the strength. Come join and be part of the song. One voice, one hope.
song.
Light the fire.
Okay.
I stand to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is waiting, but my flesh is so weak. So light the fire in my soul, burn the flame, make me new. Lord, I know again. So light the fire in my heart again. I feel you all around me as the power of the wind begins. Your spirit moves through me like a mighty rushing wind. So light the fire in my soul, and the flame make me move. Lord, I know where I be. So light the fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my soul, and the flame make me whole. Let I know where I be. So light the fire in my heart again.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my death to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
All right. First, and then Bibles? Or Bibles? Bibles next weekend. But it's in the bulletin. Anyway, children's story.
It's not on. How does that go? Am I good now?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Welcome back. And some of you, welcome. I haven't seen you for a long time. Did you have a good summer? Awesome. Okay, so today we are going to learn about all the parts that are important in a church and in your body and in life. So I have two dolls here. Let's see if I can find them. Oh, yeah, here's one. There's one. Does anyone know who that is? It is C-3PO. Now, oh, what is Bo? That's a CP3PO without eyes. Does he really look very good? No. And lots of people tell me that sometimes the best part, and I believe this too, the best part of any stuffed toy is the eyes. I know when I'm picking one to buy, I look it right in the eyes. So I thought, wouldn't it be awesome? Forget about making dolls. If the best part of the stuffy is the eyes, look, I got nothing but eyes. There's bunches that, like, I probably have 100 eyes. Isn't that awesome? Who wants to play with that? Or would you rather play with this one? Oh, we would rather play with the C-3PO, but he only has one set of eyes, and the eyes are like the best part. Huh. Church is like that too. Church is like that too. And in the Bible, it says the church is made out of many pieces, and every piece is important. So, we might think, a hand. Could you do much with a hand? Not all by itself. What does the hand need? It needs an arm. And what does the arm need? A body. And what does the body need? All the stuff inside. Does any of it work all by itself? No. And Mr. White said, I needed to tell you, we also need our bum. But we don't need lots of them. Church is like that too. We need some people that will be hands, but we also need arms so that the hands can actually do something. We need some people that are going to be the heart of the church, but we also need some people that are going to be the feet, that are going to walk around and do the work. And, you know, we need some bums, but again, only one. So today, we want to bow and pray. Thank you, God, that we are made so wonderfully and that it's such a great image of what you want your church to be like. Everything important, everything special, everything needed. Please be with us today as we start our exciting new year. Amen. And also not in the bulletin, you get to go downstairs and be with your Sunday school teachers, am I right? Awesome. So you can follow Miss Zacharias and Miss Lizotte, and have a good time.
It's always great when we have lots of young people, and some of them are getting to be not so young. But I love the enthusiasm that they bring to coming to church, and we all have to thank their parents and grandparents for bringing them here and teaching them that coming to church is important and that the Word of God is law and that we should be obeying it. Now, for sharing time, there were a couple of announcements here. I'll just mention that Anna Funk and Isaac Ginter are asking for our prayer support at this time. Isaac has moved into Tuxedo Village Extended Care down on Corden, and Anna is just starting treatment for cancer in her leg, so we wish that you would keep them in your prayers today. Also, a heartfelt thank you to Wanda and Frank Neufeld, who have been obviously in our church since 51, as it says in the bulletin, but have also most recently been part of the historical committee, and we thank them for their service and for the work that they've done on that. They are now stepping back from that commitment, but again, really do thank you for all the work that you've done and the commitment that you have made to our church throughout the years. So thank you. Are there any other prayer requests or any other sharing to be done at this time? If not, if you would bow your head for a word of prayer. Oh God, we pray for our church and all who attend. We thank you for the many gifts of those who serve you here. You know our hearts, Lord. Help us to know ourselves and to know which of our gifts we should share with the church. As our programs restart, may they be blessed by participation and enthusiasm from all. We ask for your wisdom to discern your ways and path for our own lives. We ask for your wisdom to discern how to deal with others we meet, live with, work with, shop with, drive our roads with, wait in line with, eat with, and be with daily. We ask for your wisdom in the difficult situations we may have to deal with as we go through life. We ask for your wisdom when voting in the upcoming elections. We ask for your wisdom in dealing with injustices in our world. We ask for wisdom for our leaders in our world, our countries, our provinces, and our communities. We ask for wisdom for our church leaders worldwide and local and here at NKMC. We ask for wisdom for our pastors as they preach your word, inspire, lead, and grow us as disciples. We ask for your wisdom for our program leaders as they work in our church. We ask for your wisdom as we reach out to those in need in our communities and in our world. We ask for wisdom as we minister to those who are homebound and in nursing homes. We pray for those in our bulletin and those in our hearts. We ask for your wisdom as we minister to those in hospitals and care homes, in recovery and in rehabilitation. We ask for your wisdom that not only enlightens us, but transforms us and guides us in our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We will now take the offering.
Your love is amazing, sweet and the end unchanging. Your love is a mountain from beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God's love rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Make me sing, Lord, you make me sing, sing, sing. How you make me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
For our scripture reading this morning, I'll be starting with Ephesians 2, 14 to 16. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in our body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. And 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 and 26 and 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, and so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Well, good morning to all of you. I was sitting here and having a variety of thoughts, good thoughts, and thinking about how it's kind of today, 2 years ago, that we were introduced to this congregation. And I was thinking that I've been here now for 2 years as the pastor, a long time perhaps, and yet I think about it and I think, but there are folks here who have identified with this church all their lives who I hardly know. And that's a little humbling in a way. But it's good for us to be gathered together. And I'm glad to be part of this congregation. And so those were some of my thoughts. I was also thinking about how the search committee, when they interviewed me, didn't ask me about Crokinole either. So, Jeff, you know, you're not the only committee member who's come up short. Unlike Lizzie, though, I'm pretty good. No, I haven't played for so long, I'm probably no good either. But, and I think that A needs to just change the tone on that A a little bit in Knipsbrat. Yeah. Okay. Some silliness aside, it is a good thing to have us gathered. We've been here off and on through the summer. I've been back in the office this week, but had a few weeks of vacation before that, which didn't go exactly as we had envisioned, but it included some good things and some a couple rounds of golf at least. So things were good. And I'm going to invite you to just pause a moment before we launch into the talk for this morning for a prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we're grateful to be back together as a community of faith after a summer of not all being together quite so much. And we want to pray that you will lead and guide us as a congregation, a community, people wanting to follow you together. And guide our thoughts this morning as we consider the word that we look at in the scripture for today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here's the opening question for this morning. What do you think the body of Jesus looks like? I think you'll probably agree that there's all kinds of different directions you might take the answer to that question. So one direction is to think about the visual depictions of the body of Jesus created by humans over the years. I thought we could demonstrate that with a couple of ancient images that we're going to project on the screen, I believe. So, David, if you want to put up the first one, this is, and I know that it's probably, but this is old, so you can't have it good. You can't have high-definition perfection when a picture is this old. This is called the Healing of the Paralytic. This is a 3rd century fresco found in a 3rd century Syrian church. I understand that from the research I did that this is the oldest known visual depiction of Jesus, the body of Jesus. And so what's in this fresco is up on the left side there is the paralytic picking up his bed and walking after Jesus has healed him. So Jesus is the figure at the top center. It's pretty hard to tell from the picture what this artist thought Jesus looked like, right? Got to be kind of slender, at least, I think. Can't tell if the hair is long or not. Should be, right? Let's go to the next picture. In this picture, this is later, this is 6th or 7th century, and it's depicted in a church in Rome. And so here you have clearly Jesus in the center. He's flanked by Peter and Paul. And here you can see Jesus has a lean, athletic body, and he's got the long hair. This is the Jesus we know. This is the image we have. And so I continue to try to project that image. I'm 30 years too old, but, you know, you keep on trying, right? No. So someone thought that this is what the body of Jesus must look like. What do you think the body of Jesus looks like? And we can cut the pictures, David. Thank you. Now, of course, I'm beginning this sermon with a bit of a twist. We're not really going to talk about the physical body of Jesus in this sermon. Perhaps you're disappointed. Maybe you wanted some kind of explanation of that. No. We've already read some texts from Scripture, from the Bible, that speak of the body of Jesus, and they do not refer to his physical body at all. I chose 3 texts this morning that talk about the body of Jesus. So we've read those, but because the Bible speaks of the body of Jesus in metaphorical ways at times, you may have thought of other ways that you might think of answering the question, what does the body of Jesus look like? You might have thought of bread. Why? Well, because Jesus says when he shares the bread at the Last Supper, this is my body. Interesting piece of imagery. You might have thought of that. Or you might have thought of the Christian church. And that's, of course, where we're going in this sermon. Paul uses the imagery of the church as the body of Jesus on a number of occasions. And we read 3 texts that talk about the body of Jesus. And so you might have thought of that quickly this morning when I asked you, what does the body of Jesus look like? So keep thinking about it that way while I invite you to consider something else that springs from the title that I put to this sermon. The phrase that is my sermon title this morning, a body to die for, is sometimes used to refer to human bodies, right? And when it is, we know that it refers to a very special body. Whether male or female, the body to which it refers is a beautifully sculpted body with a most pleasing shape. It's a body to die for. Of course, if you die to get the body, it doesn't do you much good, does it? So the phrase, when you think about literal understanding of a language, makes no sense. But we attach a meaning to that phrase, a body to die for. And what do we mean when we say something is to die for? Well, we don't mean that we want to die, but we do mean that it's something that is highly desirable, something that we would really like to have. And so the body to die for is a body that is so desirable that we would make great effort to get it if we could. Now we're going to think of the body of Christ as the church in this morning's sermon. The texts that we've read point to that. Do you think that's a body to die for? Some of you might very well quickly say no. You think of this church, and you think of some cantankerous personalities, or you think of some conflicts over some fairly unimportant matters, or you think of what feels to you like a lack of life, and you say, I wouldn't die for this body. But some of you might quickly say yes. You have found grace and compassion in this church. You have been welcomed and made to feel appreciated. You've been cared for. You've learned to love to worship with this community. You say this is a body worth dying for. So continue to think about that thought, about a body being worth dying for, as we consider our texts for this morning. We're going to grapple with the question of what it means for the church to be the body of Christ, and we're going to revisit the question of whether this is a body to die for. So, the texts we're looking at in the same order that Jeff read them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, talks about Jesus bringing the body that is the church into being. The text is thinking about the tension that created that existed between Jews and Gentiles, those people who were not Jews, who wanted to be part of the Christian community in the first century, in the early years following the death of Jesus. The Jews who had been first to respond to the call to form a community of believers, people who wanted to follow Jesus, had a little bit of a challenge as Gentiles began to participate in this body of people. Some were eager to include them with no strings attached. Some likely thought that they should be included, but with some expectation that they conform to Jewish lifestyles. And others might have shut the door to them completely. The Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, didn't precisely explain his viewpoint, but his direction seems to push us in the idea toward the idea of inclusion. After all, he said that the two groups were made into one. There was no division and no hostility left, Paul writes. There was an entirely new organism being formed. It was no longer Jew or Gentile. It was one, and it was Christian, we might say. Note how this one group was born in the words that Paul wrote. Since we're thinking so much about the idea of body this morning, we note that Paul here seems to refer to the reconciliation of two groups into one group as the two becoming one body. They became one body through the cross, Paul writes. What does that mean? And the context makes it quite clear that when Paul is talking about the cross, he is talking about the death of Jesus on the cross. That's one answer to whether, or there's kind of an answer to our question of whether this is a body worth dying for. Jesus decided that it was. He died so that hostilities could be removed and so that those who follow him could do so in unity. That's one part of how this body was born from the text that Paul has for us. The other part of how this body was born is described this way in this passage. In his flesh, he made both groups into one. This may again refer to the death of Jesus, but I wonder if it has a richer meaning than that. This talk about in the flesh of Jesus. As those who choose to follow Jesus come into union with him, they take life from Jesus. And the life of Jesus infusing them changes them and enables them to live without the hostilities that they might otherwise have for other people. The body that is to die for has its birth in Jesus, continues to draw its life from Jesus, and is a body in which hostilities between the members disappear. When the Christian church lives its life in unity and care for each other, it is a beautiful place. And it's a place worthy of our commitment. Perhaps it's even a body to die for. Now, from the second biblical text for this morning, we're thinking about some of the ideas that Ingrid presented in the children's feature. Paul's talk about one and many, a body having lots of parts, but also being one. Paul writes to the church in Corinth that they are the body of Christ. While the reference to the body in the previous passage in Ephesians seems to relate to the broader universal church of all the followers of Jesus, here the talk is more to one specific local community, one like ours here at North Kelowna Mennonite. And it reminds us that any local church is the body of Christ. So Paul compares the church in Corinth to a human body as he plays around with the ideas of one and many. The human body, he says, has many parts, but it can still be said to be one. The church is like that, made up of many people, but one. That's because the Holy Spirit has unified us all, in Paul's language. As we have come to Jesus, the same Holy Spirit has filled each of us, making us a united group of many. Now, Paul knew very well that saying that the body of Christ that was the church in Corinth was united was an ideal statement. The church of Corinth was not a church that had managed to become perfectly united. They disagreed on many things. When you read through the letter, the first letter that Paul wrote to Corinth, you know that this church did not all, the members did not all think the same way. They disagreed on lots. They didn't live as if they were together. And yet Paul told them that they were one. I think that's instructive for us because what Paul says about the church in Corinth continues to be true for all churches. We find ourselves in disagreement in this church from time to time. This passage effectively encourages us to not be discouraged about that. Even if we disagree, we are still the body of Christ. We are still a community of believers where each of us is a part of the community, the same way that an arm or a leg is part of the human body. Each participant in the community is appreciated and valued and cared for because we're all in it together. When we learn to live together, work through disagreements together, holding a philosophy that sees all the people in this church as together in one body, we may well look like a body to die for. Well, our final passage for this morning speaks of the body growing. Once again, it is Jesus Christ who provides the life and the impetus to grow. Paul's words in Ephesians 4, 14 to 16, say that the body grows into him who is the head, that is Jesus. Jesus inspires the growth, and the growth moves in his direction. I think the implication of the statement that the body grows into Jesus is that while every part of the body is connected to each other, every part needs to nurture its individual connection to Jesus, the head of the body, so that the body can grow together. And then when the body grows together, it becomes more like Jesus. When we as a church live and act like a body whose parts are all connected to each other and to the head of the body, in this case Jesus, then we grow well. We work together well. We live in love. We look really good as a body. Now think about that phrase a little bit. We look good as a body. What does the body of Jesus look like when it looks good? How does the growth of this body express itself practically? And perhaps the, I was going to call them the unforgettable words, but I would have forgotten them already, of St. Teresa of Avila, a contemporary of the early Anabaptists, might say something about this. She described for us what the body of Jesus looks like when it's growing and looking good. Christ has no body here on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes which express Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet which Christ is to go about, with which Christ is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands with which Christ is to bless us now. So in those words, you have a description of what this growing body of Jesus that is the Christian church looks like. In Tom Yoder Neufeld's words, God does not simply put us together as muscles, sinews, limbs, and organs, but gives us the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, filling the lungs of the body of Christ, the new humanity in the making, with the oxygen it needs to stand on our feet, indeed to do the work of Christ. This growing body is a body to die for. So we said at the outset that we would grapple with what the church as the body of Christ looks like and whether it's a body to die for. This body is both the church that we belong to here at North Caledonian Mennonite Church And it is the universal church, all those who follow Jesus. The body of Jesus here at North Kildonan Mennonite Church is a good-looking body when its parts are connected to each other and to Jesus, and when it's growing into Jesus and becoming more like Jesus and showing Jesus to those around us in the way that it worships and serves. So on this homecoming Sunday, we have come, regathered after a summer with lots of dispersal. We are expressing either our commitment to or our interest in this body. We return with hope that this body will look good. We return with interest in playing our part to make this body look good. And so I'll leave you with the question of whether the expression of the body of Christ that is North Kildonan Mennonite Church is a body to die for. Hopefully we're thinking that this body is attractive enough that we want to be part of it and give deeply of ourselves for it so that it lives better. A few weeks ago, a few of us were talking about this church community, thinking about its strengths and its weaknesses, putting together some of our thoughts, and we thought that one of the things that makes this body look really good is the network of care, both formal and informal, people gathering, small groups, people who come together for coffee or other ways in which care for each other genuinely and carefully happens. We thought that that's one of the things that makes this body look really good. Hopefully we're thinking this body is attractive enough that we want to be a part of it. However, if we're doubting that it is a body to die for, we might be reminded that Jesus, knowing how imperfect his followers in the church would be, thought that this was a body to die for and provided resources for the body to be transformed into a highly attractive body. So whether we think that this is already a body to die for, or whether we recognize the potential for it to become so, we join together as the body of Jesus Christ, hoping to grow together in Jesus so that we clearly are a body to die for. Let's pray together. God of creation, God who has formed the Christian church through the life and death of Jesus, we give you thanks for your call to us to be followers of Jesus, and for your invitation to us to express that in a community like this one here at North Kildonan Mennonite Church. As we embark on this year, as we embark on thinking also about how the church is a good place to be, we pray that you would inspire us. We pray that your Holy Spirit who fills us would continue to give us life and breath and enable us to be a body to die for. Ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Listen to our prayer. Amen. Listen to our prayer. O Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear, hear our prayer.
Yahweh,
can you hear our cry? Can you hear our cry? Lead us and guide us, show us the way. From day to day, step by step. Let peace, like a river flow. Like a river flow, like a river. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to our prayer. O Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear. From day to day, step by step, our spirits cleave to you, Lord.
So if you could rise for the benediction and then remain standing for the closing song, and then I'm going to ask Betty, which I didn't do before, if she could lead us in Praise God. Would that be okay? As our grace for the meal downstairs. May the grace of God the Father be with you. May the wisdom and teaching of Jesus Christ the Son guide you. May the strength of the Holy Spirit be in you. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing shadow of your wings. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, dance elsewhere. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, dance elsewhere, dance elsewhere. Thing I ask and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in place your glory dwells. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, dance elsewhere. There is one day in your courts, there is one day in your house, there is one day in your courts, dance elsewhere, dance elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I draw joy to you. I will draw you to you. There is one day. There is one day. Is one day dance as well. There is one day, there is one day, there is one day dance as well. one day in your court. There is one day in your house. There is one day in your court. Down in Santa's way. There is one day in your court. There is one day in your house. There is one day in your court. Down in Santa's way. Down in Santa's way.
From whom all blessings flow.